Again, Lord, your grace today for our life. Today is the second Sunday of the year 2016, Lord. We know we are coming to that day when the dead in Christ shall rise.
Amen.
And we who are alive will be changed. And together with them, Lord, caught up to meet you in the air. We are thankful, Father, for this life of Christ Jesus that Thou hast given to us. And we pray, Lord, that our life be worthy of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So now, Father, as you approach Thy word today, we ask for your grace. Bless Thou hearing. Bless the word that being spoken. And bless the heart that we see, Father. Asking in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn with me to the book of James. I have always wanted to deal with this book of James. And so I thought to do it beginning of this year. I don't know how long I will touch on this book of James. It has 5 chapters. It's a book that, well, it's a very simple book, very practical. It's not about doctrine. There is no beginning, no ending. James just wrote whatever he felt in his heart to write. So we are going to look at this book of James, chapter 1. James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, a greeting. Now, in the epistle of Paul, if you read the epistles of Paul, you can tell that there is a certain style of writing. And here in this book of James, it says the epistle, or general epistle of James, which James is the one who wrote this epistle? And how many James or Jameses are there in the Bible? Now, this book is kind of interesting for many reasons. People are trying to find out, first of all, who is this author? Now, he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't say James, son of Zebedee, or James, Alphaeus, the little, the lesser, or James, the brother of Jesus. It never said that. Or James, the father of Jude. Now, they are said to be about, well, some say that there are 6 James, some even said 7. But as far as I know, I think that there are the James that they think that are separate from the other. There are actually about 4 James that we know. Alright. So, the question is that which James? We have, first of all, we all know in the Bible, Peter, James, and John. So we know Peter, James, and John. So these James and John, the tree that was taken up to Mount Transfiguration. Now the question also comes is, which James is the one that went up to the Mount Transfiguration? Huh? Isn't it interesting? Now we know the Bible said that God, or Jesus Christ, when he went out to look for his disciple. And we know that there is this James book in the book of Matthew 4:21. Let's look at it. The reason why I want you to look at it so that we can see why this particular James who wrote this Bible did not want to mention his real connection with which James, who he really was, for some particular reason, maybe. Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father. Now here is mentioned the name. James and John, these two are brothers. James Zebedee, John Zebedee. Okay, that's clear. Okay, so we have another James over in the book of Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And we have verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of John and Simon, and are not this his sister with us? So, this James is the brother of Jesus. Now wait a minute. If you are Catholic here, you may oppose it. Why? Because they say that the word brother, now you know in the Bible, as we already studied, the relationship between Lot and Abraham is even considered brother. Because it is a Middle Eastern word. Whether you are a cousin or you are an uncle, they call brother. You understand what I'm saying? You see. So they say this word brother here, let's read again. It says, it's not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, so we know that it's referring to Jesus, the brother of James. So now he said the brother of James. But some people say no. This is what brother means, the brother, cousin brother of James. Alright, it means to say that James is not the son of Mary. Okay, but the son of Joseph, who had an earlier wife, who passed away. So this is the doctrines or the opinion of Jerome, the Pope, one of the Pope's Nicene Fathers, who perpetuated the doctrine that Mary was perpetual virgin. I mean, say that after she gave birth to Christ, to Jesus, she never had sex with Joseph, the husband. They want to make Mary immaculate. You see? They make her virgin forever. And even Brother Branham mentioned about these things. And as if that some of his, you know, he was saying that Joseph had other children in the first marriage. So that opinion is taken from Jerome. Now, because Brother Branham says something like in general, people said that, well, they believe that Joseph was never had sex with Mary. Mary is virgin. Now let me ask you a question. When God created man and woman, and they're married, are you telling me that the woman is going to be a virgin forever, and the man that they're going to be a virgin also? Is that God's purpose? That's the reason why people who come to their understanding what the Catholic Church say and what the opinion, just because Brother Man make a statement, we need to understand and have spiritual understanding, not religious understanding, of what the Bible teaches. The Bible said, forbid not to come. The Bible talks about how that in the book of 2 Timothy, why Paul wrote to him, in chapter 3, verse 1, it says that in the last day, in the latter day, there will be many that give heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devil, forbidding to merit, and eating meat and such a thing. And Paul said that the marriage bed is holy. So people are saying that, oh, their doctrine then begin to divide to say, God wants Joseph to take care of Mary and not to have sex with her. Marry her, but not to have sex with her and have no other children after Jesus was born. Now, that would be contrary to sacred wedlock, holy wedlock. Before that is what God brought the woman Eve to Adam, and what was said? Thou bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, for this cause shall men leave father and mother and join to his wife, and they both shall be one flesh. Isn't it so? That's for purpose of being one flesh. So because of that, they say, oh, this word here, you see, because of the way the Bible is, being the Eastern, so they can give it interpretation. That these children listed here, James, Joseph, Judah, Simeon, and all the other sisters. How many brothers? James, Joseph, Judah, Simeon. Four brothers, and I don't know how many sisters. They all do not belong to Mary. They belong to Joseph by earlier marriage. That is not true. Assumption became a doctrine. And I'm really sad to say that it has been that way. You know. So you all know what I'm saying? And you know what Paul said about marriage, about the woman and the man. Says that sometimes you got to separate yourself a little while and give time to prayer, right? And study of the scripture. Do not always come together and sleep together. You see. So for a person to say that, well, they're not supposed to come together, that's only an assumption. And I would say that is contrary to sacred scripture. And the very sacrament that God first instituted. Alright then, that's James, the brother of Jesus Christ. That's two James now. Then we have Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. And Matthew chapter 10, verse 3. Here we have the name of the disciple given in verse 2. Then we have Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. So we have James, the son of Alphaeus, who is supposed to be the one known as the little one. James, the lesser one, compared to James, the big guy, the one who is Zebedee. Okay, then we look at Mark chapter 2, verse 14. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of the custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. We all know Matthew was a tax collector. But who is this Levi? And he says here, Levi, the son of Alphaeus. So who is this Levi? No, that's Matthew, the same guy. Because he is a publican. He was a tax collector here. That's only one time Jesus said, follow me, right? So Levi is Matthew. And he said Matthew was the son of Alphaeus. Could Matthew and the other James be brothers? And you know one thing about Christ's calling? When he calls someone, the tendency that he calls brothers in the family. That is one tendency of, you know, that you can see. He called brother, he will continue to call next brother or a sister. It's a relation. You know. Alright, so that's interesting for our thought. So we go to the next one now. Here we have Luke chapter 6. Alright, verse 16. Luke chapter 6, verse 16. And Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, the son of James. Yeah, okay, that's your translation in the Bible. My one is the brother of James. The son of James. So now we have, correct, James, the father of Jude. That's what it says in the proper translation. But my King James is put as good brothers. That's why I was wondering what went wrong. So you have James, James in the Bible who is the father of Jude. Now this one, we're not concerned with. Of course, this is a gem that is not important to us. Okay, so we have at least three James. There are other James mentioned in the Bible, so you need to count out who you refer to. So people think that maybe there are other James, two or three other James. But now we look at this. You have James, the brother of John, sons of Zebedee, James, brother of Jesus Christ, and James, son of Alphaeus. Now, which of these do you think wrote this book? So a lot of people are trying to figure out who wrote this book. And it's particularly not mentioned here. All we know we have in verse 1, James, a servant of God and of Lord Jesus Christ. What reason is that? And it is possible that this James who wrote this, in my opinion, which is worth only 2 cents perhaps to some people, was the brother of Jesus Christ. Because first of all, James here was a person who was the one that conducted or we say emceeing the whole of this Jerusalem Council in the book of Acts 15. Now, in history, it is said that he died. He was martyred just before Jerusalem was destroyed. And that he had a love for those Christians, the Jewish Christians who were converted, Jewish people that were converted to Christian faith, that were scattered after Stephen was stoned. Alright? Then during the time when Saul, before he was Paul, started to persecute them. So there was a lot of persecution. And because of that, there was scattering. So he wrote this letter to them. Now, I want you to go and look at the verse in 1 Corinthians 15:7. 1 Corinthians 15:7. Here we have this statement of Paul. Remember Saul when he became Paul? He was drove by the Spirit of God into the desert in Arabia. And there, Christ revealed to him, show him the revelation. He was out there for 3 years. Then when he came back to Jerusalem, he went looking for the apostles to see whether what he received from Christ were the same as what they had. You know. And so he says there in verse 7, after that he was seen of James, referring to how that Christ appeared to James. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So we were probably thinking that this James would have to be the brother of Jesus Christ. Alright. Then we want to go to the book of Galatians 1:19. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 19. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. So here we have Paul also. They went and confided with James, the Lord's brother. So James must be this James, the big guy in Jerusalem, or the one who actually oversee the believer in Jerusalem, was actually the Lord's brother. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So, then if this epistle that was written must be written by him. Alright. But the thing is that why did he not stay. James, the Lord's brother, a servant of our God, make a reference to who, what relationship he had. There was none. Now, of all the books of Paul, of all the epistles of Paul, now it is said Paul wrote 13 epistles. Huh? But nobody wants to include the book Hebrew, as if that it was not Paul. But apparently the book Hebrew has to be Paul's, written by Paul. Only that he wrote in such a way that there was no identification. But the style still remained very similar to Paul's style. Why? Because most of the epistles Paul wrote were to Gentiles. To the Hebrew, it was the only one that he wrote to the Hebrews. So he remained obscure. Well, interestingly, whenever we look into the Bible, and I know today that in churches or in cell group, lots of Christians want to study the characters in the Bible. They want to study about King David. They want to study about, you know, Moses and all these characters study. But I think the thing is not about character study. And apparently here, the writer here, James, there's nothing for me to, for you to study about me. There's nothing here for you. All I want you to know is what I want to tell you. From my heart, from God to you. So here we can ignore. That's why people can take the Bible and can, they can know the history about the Bible. They know where Jesus was born, where he died, but they never had the understanding, the revelation of what was written. It is not about the words in this book. Nor just this about this book. Why there are 66 books in the Bible? Why it holds the book of Genesis about creation and the book of Revelation? No, it is all about the person, Jesus Christ. That is to say, in the book, in every line, in every phrase that we see in the Bible, it is about him. We have to see him. Otherwise, all we see is this person, that person, what this person wrote about concerning creation, what this book wrote about concerning the coming new age. No. It's not about what Matthew wrote about Jesus or Mark wrote about Jesus. You know. It is about Jesus. They wrote about him, but can you see Jesus? There are people who get up in the morning. As you all know, we all get up in the morning. The first thing we do is we go to the toilet. We clean our face. We want to make ourselves look good. Yeah? What would that person look into the mirror and then just forget about it and go out? There are people like that, maybe. That's what Paul talks about. Look in the mirror, see the dirty face, and now we do nothing about it and walk out. So when you look at the Bible, we're supposed to look at Christ and how what he is to us, how he revealed himself to us. So this is the book here. And this book of James is all about the practical living. This is one book. It's about practical living. In the book of Romans, it's about what? It's about gospel. It's about the salvation. It's about the plan of God for you, for me. It's all about the fall of man, the sin of man, and how that God sent Christ, the redemption. Book of Romans is important. And this book is about practical walk. The Christian walk. That's what it's all about. Very simple. Yet perhaps we don't take much thought about it. Isn't it? Alright. Let's go and look at some other verses. There's one verse perhaps I need to look at. Matthew 13, 55. Oh no, it's not. I already referred to it already. I never did refer to this verse, but never mind. Okay. Let's go to 2 Peter 1:21. 2 Peter 1:21. Now, we know that the 66th book of the Bible were written by about 40 men over a period of 2,000 years. And many of them don't even know each other. So it's not about who wrote what book. But as the Bible here said, verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old days or in old time by the will of men. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. If we do not take this verse at face value, that the Bible, that the scripture, this sacred scripture, we call it the Bible. The word Bible means book. Okay, Biblium. It comes from the Greek word. It means book. Sometimes they add the word Holy Bible, so the Holy Book. But we would like to call it rather sacred scripture, as the Bible used the word sacred scripture. Now, if it is sacred scripture, that is to say that this book, all the words that were written by these different men, they were not written because of their own personal desire. They were written as God moved them to write. Is that right? You understand this? So now it's not to study about what they write, but rather to study the revelation that they have in their writing. Because today we can see that in theology, in seminary, there are some Bible college that actually discuss so much about certain portion of scripture, and they believe that that certain portion of part of the scripture were not inspired. And so they begin to tear it up, or rather ignore it. Now, I don't think there's much different today in the entire message. In the entire message, what do we have? We have people who say, you do not know the Bible. You do not understand. Only the prophet is the one that had the interpretation. And they will quote what Brother Branham, you know, practically this is what it's all about. They quote Brother Branham. If they have understood what Brother Branham uttered, then it will be different. They'll be okay. But they didn't. It's no different like the Catholic. No different like the Anabaptists. Huh? There's no different like the plain truth, Armstrong. I believe you all know Armstrong. Herbert Armstrong, who believed that the lost 10 tribes are the Anglo-Saxon. They are there in America, they are there in Europe, they are the lost 10 tribes of Israel. It is not Israel that crucified Jesus Christ, it is the Jew that said. You know. So, how did they arrive at that? They have their own view and all this. Of course, people have opinion. But as we all know, Scripture will interpret Scripture. It doesn't lie. So now, if we take this verse, then we have to accept that this book that you hold in your hand was written by the Holy Spirit. And if it is written by the Holy Spirit, how can you understand something that is of another dimension, of another realm? That's what Rabbi Amir would make a simple statement. You cannot understand the scripture until you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Spirit that wrote it, and it will be the same Spirit who is in you will help you understand. Isn't it right? You see. And that is important. Alright. So now let us not pay attention to the author, but let us pay attention instead to the author. Okay? The author of the authors of the Bible. Alright, let us now look into this few texts, a few verses of this book of James. But let us not peel it away like people peel bananas. Of course, you understand, you all eat bananas, you all peel away the banana skin, right? Correct. Why you don't eat the skin? Do you know that vitamin is all in the skin? Only the problem is they find hard to eat the skin. So we threw the skin away. But in the hospital where I worked before, in the mental hospital, and the patient eat the whole thing. Huh? And when you eat, for example, apple, do you, well, some people really take away the apple skin too. But you find that the vitamin is just below the surface of the skin. And you take it away. See? Huh? And tomato. Tomato is a fruit, not a vegetable. And yet, do you peel away tomato skin? No. You don't do that. People eat pears, they peel it away. But you know one thing about the Word of God. You cannot peel it away. You have to eat the whole thing. Skins and all. The vitamins and all. Because without vitamin, you know how that in many years, I don't know if it was 18th or 19th century, but some of the sailors got scurvy. I think you probably know about it. It's because they peeled away the potato skin, you know? And they boil and cook it. And the vitamin, there was the B, the everything that was there in the skin was thrown away. And so much so that the sailors got scurvy. And that is just unfortunate. Okay. Now, let us look at verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus. What wonderful. He was so humble as to say that he was not an apostle. He didn't say that he was an apostle, like Paul, like Peter. So was this James an apostle? Some people said, no, he was pastor. He was overseer, you know, in Jerusalem. But I believe that he was also an apostle, because you know one thing about apostle here? People think they're the only 12 apostles in the early church. When I just started up, you know, there were only 12. No, actually, if you count them, you at least got 24. You know, Silas, Silvanus, John Mark, they were all included under Paul. Paul called them, well, we apostles. Because what, they followed the apostolic teaching and they went out, disseminated the truth along with Paul, and when after that, they are on their own, they are apostles. Not because they're going on mission, but because they have learned, they have understanding, and they got more as God teach them in their own ways. That's why in the world today, the apostles, they are scattered out, each in his own right, doing what God has given them to do. But I said this, not all apostles are the same. Not all prophets are of the same category. You have men like Moses, you have men like Elijah, is that right? And then you have men like Joel. Compare Joel, Malachi, Zechariah. Compare to them, there are different calibers. You see. So nevertheless, James here, he just said, I'm a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing you notice here, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say a servant of Jesus Christ, but he gave the whole full title. Now he wants to make this letter. In the first verse he says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. That's why he makes sure that they understand that Jesus Christ is not just Jesus Christ, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, Peter, when he stood up to preach, right? He told the Jew, this same Jesus whom you have crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to know that he was not just Messiah. Christ means Messiah. Huh? Yeshu, HaMashiach. Not just them. But he was Lord Adonai. He was Lord. The one whom the Lord Yahweh came to in the river Jordan. And the one whom God, the Lord Yahweh said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand And they are make the animal, the enemy that footstool. He wants to make the Jew to understand. And this book was written to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. Now, when you read the 12 tribe here, James was writing to this nation of Israel, the 12 tribe. No, he was writing to those who were converted. Right? Not to those non-Christian Jew, non-believing Jew, no. He was writing to the believing Jew. They were scattered after the persecution arises. When Saul came up and, you know, went up and they were persecuting against the Jew, believers. Stephen was the first to be martyred, stoned to death, and there were others. So they were scattered. Alright, let's see the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostle remained. Many of them scattered. Well, today I think we can see a lot in many countries. You remember Iraq? Do you know a lot of Christians were persecuted that they have to get out? Iran? Out there in Croatia, Romania? And all this is going on out there in Europe too. Syria? So this is one of the reasons. Acts 11:19. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose after Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. You know, perhaps there's one reason. When we read and understand, God allowed persecution to come so that people will run off from the place where they were persecuted, being persecuted, so that they could spread the gospel. Do you understand this? That is one reason. You know, when I look at what's been going on lately, just at the letter we read early on, the letter from Ghana, it's just one of several others over the years that came in. Some text me and thank me through WhatsApp or to SMS just to say thank you, Brother Dan, for the book, for opening our eyes. Now for this one that you read early on, this is just an example. He is wondering now, what shall I do? I don't want to leave the church, the place where I call home. I can't be there to fellowship because they look at me like I am, well, we say, like oddball. And do you know that it's true? As you know, I don't want to go to all this convention here. They're meeting here any moment. Minister came. When I step in, everybody start looking at me. Here comes the oddball. You know. And there'll be a lot of whispering going on. It's always there. But look at what God has done to get people like this young man, people like Brother Nice, like James, Brother Andrew, even Brother Victor now in Congo. And there is another one in Cameroon. They are now being sort of persecuted. You know, when they walk around there, The enemy's eyes are all open wide, staring at them. Like what he said, like the young man said, I spoke against you. But once the eyes, your eyes are open, what do you think is going to happen to them? If they are a child of God, they're going to take the truth, they're going to go and spread the word. So, persecution has a cause that God can use to further His truth. Isn't it? Now, let us continue. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Well, the word temptation here, it's not a good word to use, though, because temptation sounds like temptation. Being tempted. Alright? But that's not what it means. It means trials. Diverse trials, different kind of trials. Trials are different from temptation. Alright? A temptation is part of a trial. But not all trials are temptation. Maybe you lost a job, now you're wondering, how am I going to get a job? What job? What could I do now? All I know is all the time is I just hammer nails into the wall. Now what am I going to do? You know, that would be a trial. Huh? So, all these Jews that were scattered all over the world, now they are all your own now. They don't have a church like they have fellowship over in Jerusalem. Now, there would be a group here, a family there, all by themselves. And they will find a place, maybe try to gather themselves together as often as they could, whether it be Phoenicia, Cyprus, or Antioch. Find a place where they can gather together and fellowship. And our truth. Like what we have today. In those days, you speak about the name of Jesus Christ, and then you are a Jew, you'll be persecuted. Like today. Out there in the Middle East. Anytime you say that you are a Jew or you are a Christian, they will want to kill you. And just because maybe you are an American, they also want to kill you. So, this is the kind of situation that they faced. So, nevertheless, James says, come in all joy. How can I have joy, brother? How can I have joy? You've got to be kidding me. Kind of, sometimes sounds, kind of, we just read it. But, you ever, I mean, God deals with people differently. There are people who have been troubled, they just, you know, they lost their job and could have been applying for a job, couldn't get a job for months, and food on the table is hard to come by, and they struggle to bring in food, and they get upset, and the Holy Spirit pulls them, and they start to read this verse. Count it all joy. You've got to be kidding me. But if the Holy Spirit pull you and let you read this verse seriously, and just meditate what God is doing. Because you see, God is doing a work. And let's read further out, let's see what Paul said. Knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. Ah, that's true, isn't it? Work patient. The trying of your faith, work patient. And he says, the word trying of that work patient, what is working of? What is mean to work patient in you? You are being tried. And I find hard to go on. Lord, I find it hard to go on. I'm trying to find a job. Can't even provide me a job. I have to struggle to put food on the table. I know to try my faith, work patient. And what God is trying to say is, keep on keeping on. You won't know how long you're going to last, but believe me, God is saying, something works out. So, have joy. But the more that you grumble, the situation will never get better.
You and I cannot get better. It can only get worse, as some people say. Huh? And then he continues to say, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work. You know, you keep on keeping on. This patient waiting of God bringing to work into your life. It says, as it says the word here, perfect work means a complete work in you. Now, nobody wants trial. Nobody wants persecution. Nobody wants temptation. But you know what? If you don't have trials, you never learn. You agree with me? Sure. You want to make a woman want to make a dress. A sister want to make a dress. A brother wants to construct a cupboard, maybe. But if you never start to do it, you will never have it. But when you start to make it the first time, you will make mistake. Sure, guys, right? How many of you here ever make dresses? No? Oh my goodness. No. You know what? I made my own jean one time, you know? I made my own jean. So when I wear it, I kind of feel funny. But I try anyway. I bought myself a calico cloth and make it just the best I know how, but it looks terrible. You know, the thing is that if you don't have patience, if you don't have this desire to do it, to move forward, you'll never learn. We all learn by mistakes. We all learn by failure. Right? Do you think that Steve Jobs got easy? You think that Bill Gates had it easy? No. They take time for them to do what they want to do. The people who invest a lot of their time and money, the many times that they fail. How do you think that man put man on the moon or out there in space? It came along many years, all these many years of failures. How many rockets were launched that failed? Huh? True. You take examination. Examination is great, but people hate exam. By examination is to find out whether you know what you should know. So that when you went through your understand your mistake, you have perfect. You have worked, this patient worked in you in a complete way. Perfect word does not mean perfection here. It means complete. That you may be perfect, it means you're complete, so you're entire, wanting nothing else. If any of you like wisdom, let him ask of God, the gift to all men, liberally, and upbraid not, and it shall be given him. What is wisdom? The word wisdom here is good common sense. Can you find for me? Wisdom. Wisdom is good common sense. That's what it is. That's what it is. Here, that's what James wanted people to know. But many of us Christians do not have wisdom. They don't have, I wouldn't say good common sense. They don't even have common sense. So we need to have good common sense, wisdom. Know what is right and what is wrong. Go to the book of Psalms. 111. Verse 10. Psalms 110. Sorry. Psalms 111. And the last verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandment. His joys, His praise endure forever. The fear of the Lord, the reverence. The word fear means not mean, doesn't mean afraid. Are you afraid of God? Are you afraid of God? When you come to God, God says, huh? You know, you put a fear and then you say, oh, I'm scared. No, God is not like that. When you come to God, God look at you, smile at you, because you are His child. Do you understand? When He pulls you, that when a father pulls a child, come, my boy, come here. The servant he said to the boy, come here. No, that is not what God, the word fear here is always reverent. I know my God. I know my Heavenly Father. I come to Him in reverence, knowing that He is Almighty. He is all that I need. I know who He is, what He would do for me. And so when you come to Him, you ask, Lord, I want wisdom. He will give it to you. He will not disapprove of you. He will never say, what do you want wisdom for? Certainly not. He will just give it to you. Okay, other verses. Proverbs 3. And I think there's so many verses in the Bible that speaks of wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. The reason why we don't find wisdom is because we never look for it. We never seek for it. In the Bible says, seek and you shall find. Knock and heaven's door and shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given you. And people don't do that. That's the real problem. It says very clearly here. Happy is the man that finds wisdom. Good common sense. And the man that get an understanding. Understanding of God's word. Wisdom, how to use those words. 13 verse 10. Only by pride. Only by verse chapter 13 verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well advice is wisdom. I learned throughout the years. I mean, in those early years of my ministry, there are a lot of mistakes made. Because like many people in the entire message, gung-ho, you know. The moment you understand read some book of Brother Brown, you think you know everything. Well, that was what happened. I thought everybody in this message is going to be the same. Believing the truth. Loving one another. Well, it turned out to be different. Huh? And I have seen. And I realized that sometimes you can't talk to people. You don't want to waste words. Don't cut in the pores before swine. There are times to remain silent. And I have seen a lot of them in Africa. We have them in India, the Philippines. Who in Africa is a whole lot of them. They come up to you and they prophesy against me. And they came up to me in my room, actually, as I said before, Malawi. And I said to prophesy. And I just listened. Say, yeah, okay. You know. They come in as if they, if only they don't wear suits. If they wear with a beard and wear Moses coming with a stick, perhaps looks more authentic with their prophecy. You know. So there's a lot of foolishness, there's no wisdom. So I don't say anything about it because let them prophesy, whatever it is. Do you know what the Bible says? That a curse will never be a curse upon those who is not, upon whom it's not supposed to happen. It wouldn't happen. I don't get people curse me, no, not. It's okay. There are people, that's what they curse me, but they'll prophesy all kinds of things and that's going to happen. It never did. Huh? Okay, 14, chapter 14, verse 7 to 8.
Go from the presence of a foolish man. When thou perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudence of the wise is to understand his way. But the folly of fools is deceit. That's common sense, that you who have wisdom should know your way. How you walk before God. Do you understand what I mean? That's not why this book of James, interestingly, let me just make this mention. It's not just say James. We don't miss James. Perhaps in those days, I'm just wondering, assuming, in those days, there are these Jewish believers who were converted. If this book of James, epistle of James, reached his hand, which James is? Is it the James, the son of Zebedee? If he is, I'll read his book. Oh, this James, he's talking rubbish. Do you ever realize that? That's exactly. Exactly what Brother Nye used to say. When people receive my book, oh, the white book. They always call it the white book. Now, let's talk about this is Gunn's book. This man is a false preacher. So what did they judge by? If my name is not in the book, what then? Remember Andrew Peary's testimony? How his pastor told him, he had my book, the pastor had my book in his office. And the pastor said, don't read the white book. Okay, he doesn't want to read the book because he was told that it is false. So he looked at the pastor's library and there was a yellow book. And it happened to be the only yellow book that we print. It's called the finale. So he took that and he read it. They found that my name is there. So maybe I should change colors. You see, they are judging the content of the book by the name of my man. You see how that is a problem. Instead of looking at the content, they're looking at the man. In terms of denomination. I remember Brother Clement's brother when he first came, when he saw the book of Brother Brand. Oh, this is a false prophet. Where did it come from? Have you ever read the book? Have you ever read his sermon, his messages? That's our brother, and there's so many of them. He always are there. Have you read Brother Gunsman? Have you heard him preach? No, I heard it from so and so, like this young man said, heard it from Dr. Bruce. You know about the whole lot of rumors been passing around here in Singapore. And these people, as I said this, going to stand before God in judgment. We are looking at practical Christian living. Common sense. Good common sense. If we don't have it, we better ask for it. Chapter 23, verse 4. Labor not to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. How many of you are working hard to be rich? But labor to be rich in the Word of God. And that's better. 23, chapter 23. Sorry. Verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth, sell it not. Buy without money. Some people say, but again, I would like to come to Singapore and stay with you for 3 months and learn from you. Good if they can afford to come here. I told them you can go on the internet and learn. Take the book, message, read it, don't just read it, study it along with the Bible and pray, and the Lord opens your eye. Simple. Wisdom. Solomon, I think, is well known. It's believed to be the wisest man on the earth. And I think if you look at how he handled cases. And the well-known cases to this day, we all know.
about a woman who claimed that a child is hers. And the real mother wanted back, and they appeared before him. And said, okay then, he told one of his men, and said, cut the baby into half and give one to each mother. Of course, what do you think happened? The real mother is the one saying, no, do it, give it to her then. No, the other one says, no, can't do two pieces. Something is wrong with that woman. But anybody ever thought of it at that time? Perhaps nobody. But that's wisdom of Solomon. Solomon's wisdom. But what happened? He wasn't as wise as he thought to be. Why? Because why? He fought for all those foreign women and married them. He got how many wives? Oh my. And what happened? Not many, so many wives. But what happened? They started to build shrines, altars to their pagan gods. Why Solomon wasn't so wise after all? Because why? Their eyes never looked up. He looked at the beauty of woman and the seductions of women. Yes. But of course some women want to marry her just because they get to live in a palace. Obvious reason. Verse 6 to 8. You want to finish off the few more verses? Verse 6 to 8. We want to finish until 11. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that waver is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I think this is very well known. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 21. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And this is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good, glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, God who have believed our report. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I said, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sounds went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I have found of them that saw me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Obstinate people. Yes, the people have heard. Israel have heard. But they have not believed. And God said, I stretch out my hand to bring them. But they would not accept it. So I have to anger them by a people who are not my people. And I want you to realize that you are that people who are not the people of God. But the people of God was the one whom the oracle was first given to. And they are the children of Abraham, by Isaac. They are the one that God has chosen them. They have heard, but they have not received. Surely they have heard the truth, but they have not received. Because there are people that are wavering. There are people that are obstinate. But we are the chosen people by Abraham through the Son that was promised. And that was Christ. So we want to thank God for that. So, if you want to ask in faith, Don't waver. If you waver, one moment say, yes, Lord. No moment say, I don't know. Maybe not. If you want to do something, and you want to move forward with God, take the stand and do it. Believing the Lord will guide you, bless you, and lead you into it. Lord, I need a job. And the Lord said, okay, I give it to you. And then you apply for a job. Yeah, this is the one, maybe. Lord, is this the one? And you start to... And you just plunge into it, do it. If it's a job that you find after 3 months, it's not yours, it's okay. That's a mistake made. Learn. Come back. Say, Lord, maybe another one. You don't expect to say, in those early years, I went to a lot of files. I wanted to be a technician, actually. I wanted to do my hands. And I applied for the Singapore Airlines. They offered a job. I said, there's about 100 candidates. 100 intake for the post of technician, to fix aircraft. And people sent me application. And there were 2,000 of them, 2,000 of us. So they have to narrow down. First test, IQ test. So if you don't pass the IQ test, that's finished. So I go through the IQ test. Many of them flunk the IQ test. If you don't get 100% of an IQ, you're finished. Eliminate. So I have a few hundred. So I said, I got a chance. Went for the second interview. I went to the office, the whole table were all the screwdriver and bolt cutter and whatever. Those things that you use. And I sat down there, interview asked, okay, young man, the first thing I want to ask you, do you know what kind of plane do we have? I said, what? I'm lost. I said, what do you mean, what kind of plane? He said, what kind of plane does Singapore Airlines buy? I said, I don't know this. He said, I'll give you an example. See, we have the Fokker Friendship in those days. Oh, can you name another one or two? I said, I don't know. Okay, I said, young man, I'm sorry. How would I go? Then I realized one thing. That you need to know the company. What they buy, what they do. Then I realized, come back, this Boeing 747, 727, whatever, this. I just want, what plane is that? You see. So, while I have to try again, I do have some other job. What can I do? So I'd be a salesman selling toothpaste, selling encyclopedia. So finally, I do this, and I say, okay, let me go to join the army. So I queue up for the join the army, I want to get an x-ray. I was was quite far back, a whole lot of people. Because you already given a talk that if you got a school cert, you'll be given this salary. Those who have no school cert, secondary two, you get this salary. So everybody was happy. So the school cert, we got at least, I think, about $20 more than those who do not, back in those days, in the 60s. You remember, the money is different. So we queue up, and we're waiting to go to production. In front there were people just moving away. Then they were saying, we are being told a lie. I said, what happened? Those who got school cert get the same salary as the one who got secondary two cert. And everybody, I also walk away. If not, I would have me a major. So what happened? I ended up working in a mental hospital. Okay. But that was God's doing. I want God to lead me. So I just applied and see what happened. So God lead me finally into working in a mental asylum. There is where God put me to the test and put this diverse temptation of how to deal with humans, how to look at demonic issues and men's thinking, how they try to cycle you and this thing and that thing. That's God. And I want to thank God really for that. So if a man is a double-minded, he's not going to get it because he's driven like the wind. Have you ever seen a lake, a big pond? Not near the sea. Let me say, we go over to a reservoir. Now, if there is a big wind flowing, you can see the water is moving. Yeah? But actually, it's not going anywhere. Is that right? The wave is just going this way and then go back. It's not going anywhere. It's just bopping. The water is just there. So, what is it supposed to do? If you are a person who is waving here and there, you're not going to move. You're not going anywhere, actually. So we have to believe that God wants us to have what we expect. Therefore, we just move forward. Failure is not an issue. Because part of our life is in failure, that God can teach you. Isn't it?
Yes.
When you explore a certain place, you come to a fork, which line to take? A left, left, right, right, left, left, right, right. You can stand there the whole day and you'll never move. You turn a coin and toss. Right, head here, left there, toss. Head, this way, maybe this way, I toss again. You know, you keep on going that you'll never move. That's why we have to make a decision in our own life, how God deal with us. Alright? So he's not going to receive, as he said, that verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. You'll never receive anything. Pray, believe, and move forward. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way, not some of his way. All. All. If you get one person that talk to me like this, I realize that man is, it's unstable in everything. Not just his faith, even in his way of life. That's scary. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat that it wither the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perish. So shall also the rich man fade away in all his ways. Isaiah 40, verse 6 to 8, we'll close. Isaiah 40, verse 6, 7 and 8. The voice cried and said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withered, the flower faded, because the Spirit of the Lord blew upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. So if you are poor, okay, rejoice in that God can exalt you. That you are exalted already to know that you are a child of God. But if you are rich, don't think highly of yourself. For one of these days your rich can be just come and it goes. Do you know something? The African people think that Singapore is rich. By what standard? How do you compare? How do you quantify rich? Who is rich? Job? Steve Jobs? Is he rich? He said, yes, he's rich. Who is richer? Warren Buffett? Or is he just rich? Rich, rich, richer. What is rich? How rich is rich? And how rich is riches? How much is it? Do you know that I'm very rich? You may laugh. Huh? I'm a rich, rich, poor man. But there are a lot of rich men that are poor, poor, rich men. They're dying without God. They may have a lot of money, but their life can be very miserable because there's a whole lot of emptiness. They got a lot of money to flung here and there, but what's the use of it? That's why when I go to India or to Africa or to the Philippines, when I see these common folks gather together and sing and worship, I see the joy in them. They are richer than I am. They can sing and they can just rejoice. The poor, they come in Africa, they came with holes in their shirt, in their trousers. They only have that one pair, they come all the way just for the convention. Huh? And they can rejoice, sit down, listen and say, hallelujah, and praise the Lord. In many rich countries, they come to church miserable. They come into the church with a hangover. Huh? Do you know that's very true? It's twice so hard as Jesus said, for the rich man to get into the eyes of the camel to believe in the gospel. It won't be, it's not far from the truth. The same people who say they are Christian and they are rich, they have a lot of things in the world, yet far miserable in life. That's not James, whoever this James may be, is speaking the truth. These are practical living. But just to take a little closer look at what he's telling and he's teaching us, it will help us a whole lot. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Bless your word, Lord. We thank you. Just break it out further for our understanding and for our admonition, so that we really have wisdom, Father, to the good common sense, to know as a Christian how we should apply your word in our life. So we thank you, Father, for today. Bless it, Lord. Asking this in Jesus' name. Amen.